Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back. Hope things are well with you. Got a lot of things to unpack here. We are still on this learning who God is in the valley. First of all, just wanted to say thank you for everybody's prayers while we've been in the Bahamas. Took a little bit of about 5 days off and had to go up to Kansas. And of course, this is hunting season. And so we had to go up there and prepare the grounds and everything, because we have a lot of people that come in from different areas that go hunting up there. And so I've gotten really close to the guy that's been leasing it for years, and now I'm starting to help him on the lease. But it was a good time to be able to just be around, you know, nature and hang out and work physically there and try to relax. Of course, when we got home, you hit the ground running the next day. But we are still trying to help the people in the Bahamas. We have reached our goal on the GoFundMe, but we've had to raise it to 100 grand because the people that we are supporting and that we're helping, they do not have a job. Their jobs have been destroyed, and they live on an island. I mean, think about that. Hopelessness. But where there's hopelessness, there's hope. And I believe hope is not just waiting on God from above to do something for them, but waiting on this God, the God that lives in man, to help do something for them. And there's a lot of folks that we are trying to support until they get on their feet. One in particular is Pastor Darrell. There's a few other pastors there that we want to continue to support. And if you would like to continue supporting, that'd be great. We would love for you to help us. We're going to try to support their families until they get on their feet and get a job. We're hoping that that would be in the next, 6 months to a year. If you want to sponsor a family, that would be great. If you can't, I would just encourage you to please continue to share the GoFundMe page on your Facebook to people. And just spread the news. Let people know that there's people that need help in the Bahamas. Did you know that even from Hurricane Michael in Panama, there are still people in devastation there? But once the news goes off of a situation or a devastation, you'll notice a lot of people start pulling out, because most people and most organizations want to do it while, there's recognition, which I understand that. That's a way you raise money and so forth. But once all the recognition and glory is gone, a lot of them pull out, and very few stay for long term. And that's what happened with Hurricane Michael. And so there's some folks that need help there. And there's a lady that I've come into great acquaintance with. Her name's Ami, and she's still working that thing. And she asked us if we knew anybody that could help chop up trees that have been laid on houses still in the Panama, because a lot of people pulled out. And so we're working on sending teams there still. That's from last year. Can you believe that? But most of when the limelight goes off of a situation, a lot of people pull out, and there's very few that will stay. And that's the same way with our walk. A lot of times, if there's not any kind of light on things, if everybody's not doing it, most of us will not go to an event or go to something that doesn't have a man's glory on it, something that's recognizable. And few do go to those places and find the real hidden treasure that is there. You look at Jesus when he was born. He was born in a manger. There wasn't much glory going on about a baby being born in a barn. But the ones that recognized it went there. And if you were to look at that scene, it wasn't glorious. It wasn't like what we see with church revivals. It was really humble. It was a humble place. There wasn't a lot of glory going on, but the glory that was truly there is hidden glory. And the glory that's on the outward that shows, you know, everything as you're just magnificent, that is a weaker glory than the glory that you can find in a place of darkness, in a place that is much, very humble. That's not too showy. When you start finding that type of glory, you found really God. And I believe our mind is going to start changing to that. Many who are walking with the Lord are starting to change their mind about what glory they want to follow. Do they want to follow God's glory, or do they want to follow man's made-up glory? And I believe that a lot of people are getting tired of following a glory that really burns out. It's like a shooting star that goes across the sky. It looks beautiful for a moment, and it shines, and it looks supernatural, but it burns out. But those that are just stay in that place and continue to shine their little light, that's the true glory that you want to find. And that's the way the Lord is. And that's the way the Lord was born. They followed that one star, you remember. And out of thousands of them, you know, they followed that star. And they were looking for him. The astronomers were looking for that star. Astrologers, excuse me. And then they found it, they saw it, and they followed it. And they followed it to a place that they thought probably would have been glorious, maybe a kingdom palace or something. But can you imagine their minds coming to a place that was a barn? And that's what's going to happen. God's going to birth himself, and always births himself, in a sinful, dreadful looking place. And but we as humans, we as humanity, have been trained or brainwashed that God births himself in a glorious kingdom. And it's supposed to be with all this adrenaline and, you know, crescendos and all types of things. But that is not the way the Lord birthed himself in the times where he manifested himself as a young child. He didn't birth himself in a man. Out of that way, if you look in Genesis, he birthed himself, blew his breath into his spirit into Adam, and birthed himself out of the ground, out of dust. There wasn't any type of glory that looked wonderful and as limelight as that moment. It was just a pile of dust, and God blows into it, and out of it comes this beautiful man called Adam, which ended up walking the earth and taking dominion. And then he does basically the same thing that shadows Genesis 1. And it didn't look glorious. And we've got to start looking for God in those places, not in the places that, how can I say without being offensive, we got to stop looking in those places that are comfortable. That's, I guess that would be the better, you know, aspect of talking about it. Most of us look for pleasant places instead of dark places, disruptible places. We don't look for barns. We look for people that are perfect, people that have their things together. But I'm going to tell you, there's not a person on this earth that has his life together completely. Paul, of all places, of all men, didn't have his life completely together. He was always struggling with the sin that lies within his body. But yet out of that birthed the manifestation of God through him. And so we've got to stop looking for someone perfect. We got to start looking for those people that are maybe has some blemishes about them. They don't look perfect. They look like a barn instead of a palace. And we've got to be able to see a palace within the rickety-est barn on this earth. And that's where we're getting to now. That's what I wanted to talk about this morning in this thing called the valley. If you were with us when I started teaching this, learning Christ in the valley, we started in Ezekiel 37. And I'm just going to go over a few of the little notes that we went over last time, just so that we can, you know, be on the same track. So if you'll turn to your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 3. And I'm going to go really quickly, all right? It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. That's the truth. Most of the time when God puts us in a place that offends our mind, we better really start listening to the way the Lord thinks about it instead of the way we think about it. Because if we start thinking and putting our opinion as the Lord about a certain situation, we could miss it and end up prophesying or doing something that could actually, you know, delay the glory that God wants to show for years. And here's a few points out of this one. It says, I just threw together, which you probably have. It says, this shows that if we are in a valley, most likely it confirms that the hand of the Lord, God is upon us. So if you find yourself in valleys, you find yourself in dark places, you find yourself being in hard situations, it's because God's anointing is on your life to actually change it. But most of us have been trained to look for great places, you know, wonderful places. And what we call wonderful places are pleasant places. And that's not the way where the Lord moves. That you can't create light when God puts you in light. It's already light. You can't create goodness when there's already goodness around you. There's nothing is able to come out of you that is glorious or something good, because there's already good and pleasant places around you. But God wants us to put us in places that are dark, that are disruptive, that looks like sin, and create glory out of those places. And then glory can come out of you because it's needed there. All right? So I'm going to skip down a few of them. We must be willing to listen to his heart instead of our own feelings, our own opinion, when he puts us in places like this. Remember, he put Ezekiel there. Ezekiel didn't want to be there. He put Ezekiel there. So how many of us find our lives in places that we don't want to be? I told my wife yesterday, this same thing. It was my opinion, it was my feelings. And the first thing, you know, I said while we were together, I really just don't want to do this anymore. I really just would rather just disappear and just, you know, be a normal person and live a normal life and, you know, work somewhere. Just be a worker and just work somewhere and just disappear and be a normal person. But God's not called us to be a normal person. And the very thing that I battle within myself is sin. It wants pleasant places. It doesn't want God. It'd rather do its own will so that it can be fine instead of God's will, where I could actually be transformed into his image. But it doesn't want that. It fights in our own nature. How many of us fight in our own nature? Sin lies within your own body. That's the thing that's always bombarding you and against God. That's why the carnal mind is against God. It's always against his ways. It doesn't want to walk down that path. It doesn't want to sacrifice. It doesn't want to give way to the will of the Spirit. It wants to give way to its own spirit, the spirit of that flesh, that nature, the works of the flesh, instead of the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is brought forth through supernatural works, through the Spirit of God. But you look at the works of the flesh, we bring it forth. So would you rather bring forth flesh, you know, the works of the flesh, or would you allow the Spirit of God to birth, you know, the fruit of the Spirit? And the way it births the fruit of the Spirit is you've got to give way to the works of the flesh. You got to put that away and allow the fruit of the Spirit to actually start working in our life. And so this is a good one. We must be willing to listen to his heart instead of our own opinions about things. With your own life, especially with your own life. Most of us like to listen to our own opinion, which doesn't get us anywhere. It only leads down a dark road. Even if it's good, you'll find yourself, it will end. But if you've got the Spirit of God, if you're following it, it never ends. It's eternal. And it'll lead you into everlasting life. Trust me, it works. The next one was, when God sees a dry place, he begins to think of breathing life upon it, not death. Remember that. And remember that within yourself. This Spirit that is talking to Ezekiel here is now inside of you. So basically, if you'll look at the way you are that valley. And the Spirit of God that is upon it, or the Spirit of God that is, if you look at the Spirit of God as being a person like Ezekiel, the Spirit of God came and took itself and placed itself in your valley, in here. And in this valley, it wants to prophesy and look at things within you completely different than the way you've been looking at yourself. Man, that's a huge revelation. The Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that manifested himself, came down out of the perfection of heaven, created heaven, humbled itself, and came down and placed itself in a human body, in a valley. And then came into this life called Jesus, and he was birthed into darkness. He was placed, his first, when he came out of, he's not only set in darkness within a womb, but he was also, think about this, God was actually placed and he grew in fleshly form in a sinful body called Mary. He grew in a sinful body. That ought to take all of that criticism that you've been criticizing about yourself completely out of way. It ought to dissipate it, because God chose to grow himself in a sinful body. And then he chose to birth himself through that body into this sinful world in a sinful body. Now think about that. And he put, and then when he was birthed into this sinful atmosphere, he was not only in the atmosphere and geographic sinful atmosphere, but he also had to war within his own members, that sinful flesh that he was chose to reside in. Think about that. And so this is, right here is actually being fulfilled through Jesus. This is a shadow of the coming of the Lord. And this is a shadow of even our life, that God himself, again, chooses it every time with someone that wants to believe in him and wants to allow the Spirit of God to come in their life. It will descend upon their valley, where it's death, where there is flesh, there's covetousness, there's all kinds of stuff. There's anger, there's lust, there's you name it, strife, all types of works of the flesh. It chooses to land itself in your valley. And then he puts his mind in your valley, and then sees you completely different than you see yourself. Then if you'll start listening to that Spirit that is in your valley, it will start prophesying into your mind and changing the way that you think about yourself. Now that doesn't mean it always changes your outward appearance. It doesn't always change the sinful nature that's always warring against it. But it will eventually transform it, not change it. In other words, it will be supernatural. You don't follow the Spirit to get yourself changed. If you do, you're listening to a wrong spirit. Just follow the Spirit, not to get changed. Think about that. Don't follow God to try to change, or you will find yourself listening to a religious spirit and judging yourself. Boy, that hit home, didn't it? If your mind is to follow God so that you can change, you are missing the mark. Your mind should be following God, period, and let God do the transformation. Now, Do we know when we're doing things wrong? Absolutely. That's when you know you're doing things wrong, that's when you've got to ask God, what are you doing? How do you want to handle it? Most of the time, we just feel like, figure we got to change really quickly. And that works for a season. But eventually, it runs out, doesn't it? Because you can't really change without on your own will. You've got to change. And if you're going to use your own will, humble your will to His will. So it's very hard to ask God, what do you think? When you're thinking negative about yourself, and it's so true. That's what's happening with him. He said, only, oh God, you know, up there. It says, he said, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, oh Lord God, you know. And in other words, I'm going to have to put my mind on you in order to actually get past this thing. And that's the way we've got to do it with this. You've got to put your mind on the Lord to get past this thing, this sinful thing that is always working against Christ in you. Put your mind on Him. All right? So, let's go to the next points here. In Ezekiel 37, now we're going to go to verse 4 through 6. I want to dissect this because it's very important, especially where we're going. Many of us are right now in a major battle, and I can tell you, we are entering into the valley of the shadow of death. I know that there's a lot of other things that are being said. That's great. We need those. We need encouragements, because where we're going is not going to be good, but it's going to be the most glorious time that we've ever had in our lives if we follow Him. So we've got to get used to it of living in the valley. Because if we can live in the valley and see His glory, man, we can live anywhere. Now, I'm not saying this just because I go through this, but I'm telling you, He has shown me this for the last few years. And we are finally, thank God, about to enter into that. We are walking into it now. And we're going to have some more years that's going to get deeper and deeper. You know, if you look at not only just the news, but this world, it's getting more corrupt and more corrupt each day. And the things that you battle is not just yourself. You think it's you, but the things that you're picking up is not just about you, but you're picking up the spirit of this world that's increasing against Christ in those that have it. And so you're feeling not only the negativity and the things that are working in you, but you're most likely feeling the corruption and the death that's actually manifesting upon this earth. And the darker it gets, the more glory that's going to rise upon us if we put our minds on Him. And so you've got to put your mind on Him, just like God's trying to put Ezekiel's mind on Him as well. Ezekiel knows, I'm in a dark valley, and only God knows what to do. Only God knows the will of what needs to be done here. And we've got to get to this place to where we've got to lean on His will and His voice instead of our own. So let's keep going here. Ezekiel 37, 4 through 6. Again, He said to me, prophesy to these bones. So, in other words, encourage, edify the very place that I've got you in. Let me look up something here. I just want to read it. I want to read this to you just so that... This is 1 Corinthians 14. This is Paul. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Now watch this. Let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done for edification. Now he's talking about everyone coming to the church. And that means, man, if there's any type of place that we have temptation in, is in the church to say things negative. Because you know why? People are there. We're having to get close. And the closer you get to one another, the more negative things you're going to see. That causes us to actually have to edify each other even more. Because God starts unveiling. When you start getting real about real with each other, and you start seeing more negative things about each other, and you're getting closer, that means you need to bring more edification toward one another. That's why a lot of us, you know, don't like to get really close, because we'll see something negative. Oh, how many of you guys say, you know, I don't want to be too close to anybody, you know, I just may hurt someone. Well, you may have hurt someone, but that someone that got hurt also had an offense as well working in them. There should be no offenses, you know, working in us. Here's the revelation. We all have sin. We all have negativity. We all have flaws. So we might as well get used to it. God sees them. And he can actually take our flaws. But he sees your flaws as an opportunity to actually create his glory. But we've got to listen to him instead of our flaws. And the same thing, the way that he looks at us, we've got to look at each other. Because we've got to get close. And so everything that we do, it's got to be to edify each other. It's got to be to build up. Because if Paul is talking to the church of Corinthians about this, then they got a little bit too spiritual, thinking that, you know, their gifts were higher than anything. I don't want to go into the history of it, but they got a little prideful. And so he had to, you know, bring them down a notch. Hey, listen, all of your gifts and everything that you do is for edification for one another. And that's what we've got to do with our gifts. Remember that. Your gifts is to edify. Your gifts is to build up. And so, he says to me again. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. In other words, what does God say about your bones? What does God say about your negativity or the way that you are? What does God say about the person that you don't like? What does God say about the situation that he has you in? Think about that. Many of us, I will just hit this, many of us, we will find ourselves even in a church. And then once the adrenaline runs out and say, man, this, at first we say, this is a great church. I love this. I feel like God's called me here. And then all of a sudden you get challenged in a church. You get challenged in the relationships there. And the first thing we want to do is jump ship. We don't realize God set all that up. So you have to listen to him. Because most of us want to get out of that place and try to find another place, or try to find relationships that will fit us. Now, when we say, I want to find some relationship that fits me, in other words, we want to find relationships that are comfortable with me. But that is not the way God does it. If you'll look here, he says, again, he said to me. In other words, he's having to actually nail it down in my mind that this is the will of God for my life. And I can't go from this place. I've got to start edifying my relationships that he has stuck me with. All these people that I really see flaws in, he's called me to edify them and to build them up. Most of us want to be dropped in places of relationship that edify us. And if they don't edify us and pay us attention, then we say a lot of different excuses. Well, they just don't want relationship here, and nobody really likes me, and nobody pays attention to me. that will follow you the rest of your life until you finally say, okay, God, what do you want to do? And you'll realize all those years that we jumped ship, he put you in places so that you can be the edifier, so that you can be the one that actually mends relationship. You can be the one that knits relationships, because that's the way the Lord has done you in your life. Think about how many times we have separated ourselves from the Lord each day, matter of fact, or maybe sometimes we've run from the Lord for years or whatever. He has always been there to edify you. He's always been there to help you. He's always been there to build a relationship with you. He's never left you or forsaken you. That's the type of spirit that you have in you. But we've been listening to the other spirit, which is the works of the flesh, that wants to jump ship and find things that fit us. It makes us comfortable. In other words, it makes the flesh comfortable. It doesn't have to die. It doesn't want to give out. It doesn't want to be always the one flowing out and giving stuff. Well, I'm sorry. That's the way the Lord actually made us. I don't know how many times I've complained, about people. People always want something from me, never ask me how I'm doing. How many of you guys have said that? Well, part of that is true. Why do they want something from you? Because they see you as a river. And where a river is, people want to take a drink. But if I see them through my flesh, I will look at them as though, man, they're just being selfish. They're just thinking about themselves. Well, if I go that route, I will get in the flesh and the river will never flow. The reason they're coming to you is because their spirit recognizes you as a river. You're a giver, not a taker. And so we've got to get used to that. You're just going to be a giver for the rest of your life. Sorry, that works against you. Think about that. How is it working? Think about those that are watching this. That's working against your mind. Yeah, but what about me? When will I ever get it? That's proof that is sin working against Christ in you. You were never supposed to be a consumer. You're supposed to be a giver. And when you're a giver, that's when you get all of the stuff that you've ever needed and wanted in your life. So you might as well just drop the consumer. Are there consumers? Yes. Are there takers? Yes. But do you want to be one? No. You'll be miserable the rest of your life. Jesus was not a taker. He was a giver. And wherever he went, they were pulling on his cloak. They were asking him to come to his house. They were always asking, and they were consuming him. But as he let them consume him, they were set free. And then they would start being givers as well. So those takers that come to you, if they want to take your tunic, you got to what? Give it to them. Will they be takers? Yes. But if you will give them what they want, it will change their life. And they will be givers as well. Listen to that. You got to get that. There's no telling how many takers that I, encounter every day. There's nothing, oh, I'm so sorry, Brad, it's like that. No, that's the way God is in me, and that's the way God is in you. I'm learning to flush that. I'm even trying to learn to flush that inside myself. My flesh is always wanting to be a taker. Well, I need this. Well, I want that. And I want this in my life, and I'd rather do this, and I'd rather do that. It wants to take what it wants for its life to live. But that flesh is not supposed to live. It's Christ in us that's supposed to live. It's the giver that's supposed to live, not the taker that's within us. So we got to get used to it. If you can overcome the taker that's in you, then you can overcome any kind of selfishness that gets around you as well, because you'll understand it. All right, that's a big one. So he says, again, He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. In other words, okay, now Ezekiel is saying, I'm going to say what God says about this situation. Don't say what you want to say about situations. If you don't have anything, the old saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all. Man, there's a lot of truth to that. You know, and a lot of people will say, well, you just got to say the truth. Well, if you say what's actually there that's negative and you're being truthful about something that's negative, how is that helping there to be change? It's not helping it. So now we've got to listen to what God says and how he says it and then speak into it. Man, I'm going to tell you what, humanity doesn't like that. Sinful humanity doesn't like that. They hated Jesus for hanging out with sinners and saying great things about them. And that same religious spirit that works in Christianity is the same thing. That's why the Lord, you know, at the last days of his life in the garden, he said, that he is not of this world. And he talked about his disciples. He prayed about his disciples that they would not be of this world, but they would be in the world, that they would not be taken out of this world, but not be in it. Now that world that he did not choose to reside in, he wasn't talking about the world that we're living in here. The real world that really controlled people at that time was the religious world. And if you'll look, the world that he actually offended was not the world that we see that heathens are living in. He actually offended the religious world that is the foundation of all things. Christianity is, and the church is the foundation of all things. He came to change the foundations of the church. In other words, the church foundation had gotten worldly. So he came into that world to transform it. So he came into the church. He came into that religious, conformity. And he busted it wide open. So he doesn't want his disciples to be of that world anymore, but he wants to put them in it. He wants to keep them in it so that they can continue to change the foundations of where the church is supposed to be. The foundations of the church are supposed to be laid upon the actions and the life and the nature of Jesus. But it wasn't laid upon God. It had been twisted. And so God put his son into the world, into that religious world, so that he might change it. Are you with me? The builders actually rejected the cornerstone. They had been rejecting the cornerstone for a long time. In other words, the foundations of the way God truly called them to live, they had twisted it for their own gain. Okay? So when he's praying about that, he's not talking about this world that you're living in. He's talking about the world that has been the foundation of all things, which is the way God set them up. It's the religious world. He doesn't want you to be a part of it, but he's going to put you in it. All right? Now, many of us that become Christians and believers, the first thing he does is he will show you that world, because your eyes open up and you start seeing the religious system. That's the world he puts you in, because he's showing you that religious system was not founded on Jesus. It was founded on the doctrines of man, the interpretations of man. They look at the Bible and they interpret it the way that they want to, so it can work according to the way that pleases them instead of pleases God. I know I'm harping on this, but I'm trying to get your mind to wake up that the world is not about the world here. The world is the religious world, the religious system. And a lot of us will be dropped in that. He sets you up. That's why he's putting you in churches. He's putting you with families that have religious systems, religious programs. And it doesn't always look good. It doesn't always feel good. But that's where he dropped his son, so that he could make the church the foundation of Jesus. And the way that we make that church, get the church back to the foundations of Jesus, and if the church ever gets back to the foundations of Jesus, it will change the world out here. Okay? Because anything that happens upon this earth reflects the conditions of the church. You do realize that. Anything. It reflects the conditions of the church. And you say, wow, there's a lot of negativity. Well, it's reflecting the nature of the church, so that we can get the revelation. Wow, these are things that we've got to change. We've got to start prophesying the areas of Jesus in this area so that it can be transformed. And so that's why he has you in a religious system. That's why he put his son in a religious system. You know, and he came to save that world. I'm telling you, he came to save that world. The most lost people were the religious people. It wasn't the heathens. Think about that. That's why he says, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He wasn't talking about heathens. He was talking about believers that are not walking with the Lord. Those are unbelievers. Believers that were called to be believers are not walking with the Lord, they're actually unbelievers. That's being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's a Christian that's not walking with the Lord, okay? So we got all of that straight. But that's a different teaching. But I believe it's true. He's gonna put us in these dry places. If you'll notice that he's, at the end of this thing, he's putting him with Christians. Because later on in this verse in Ezekiel 37, it's God's great army. Well, God's great army is a bunch of believers that are dry and dead. They have no life. Look at that. That's the foundation of what happened. This is what Jesus did. He came into this world, this religious system world, and he first started transforming his own people. And then his own people end up rejecting him. Think about that. That's what's happened even today. A lot of us, you know, this religious system have rejected really the doctrine of Jesus and have rejected that and would rather have it our way. And so he goes to the Gentiles. It still works today. But it's going to change. So here he is. He's dropped him with a bunch of Christians. You know, that's the first foundation of this thing. He's changing it. He's changing the way Christians are thinking. These are dry bones. They're dead. You know, they're walking around. You know, these are people that are so-called believers, but they're truly dead and dry. But God drops a prophet in here and sees it completely different, and he starts changing them. We run from them. And man, we've got to have warriors that run to them and encourage them instead of run away from them and criticize them. There's no telling me times. I'll give you a God story. We've been on this a long time, and I haven't got through this verse. But I got taken, I literally got taken to a church that was just in the hills of the country, and Old Hill Country Church. And I walked in, and I'm going to tell you what, the first thing, they were, you know, I thought religious. I thought, this is the most religious church I've ever been in. I can't believe that I agreed to come here. And that my mind, just like Ezekiel, was looking at it the wrong way. I said, this is very religious. And the Lord said, immediately, inside of me, he said, really? And when he said, really, that's, you know, him trying to say, you want to listen to my mind instead of yours. And when he said, really, I said, oh, Lord, I said, you know, like Ezekiel, you know. He said, no, what you're seeing is your own religious church that is within you. Man, I'm going to tell you, that changed me instantly. And I knew, oh, Lord, I've got a plank in my eye. Help me remove this plank. And I repented. I said, Lord, please let me see the way you're seeing it. And I started weeping because of my own conviction. Right there in the front row, I just kind of put my face in my hands and just sat there and cried a little bit because I was, you know, when you're really convicted by the Lord, you're going to be, there's something's going to change in you, whether you like it or not, and you're going to break. Something in you is going to break. One of the reasons why we cry sometimes when the Lord comes is because he's breaking a stronghold in you, and he's setting you free from a certain cage that you've been in. And you're so much freedom that comes out of that certain cage, your emotions can't handle it, and you just start crying. And I started weeping and had my face in my hands. And I kind of gathered myself, I raised up and looked, and man, it was the most glorious church that I've ever seen. They were truly worshiping him the only way that they knew how. And they were doing it with their whole heart. And then I saw the Lord's eye upon this church in the hills of Kentucky. He was looking down, proud of them. You know why? Because they weren't doing it to do a church gig. You know, a lot of churches will, you know, have their Sunday service. Everything's got to start on time. And I'm not talking about that things got to start on time and things not. But, you know, there are certain things that, you know, we just do that really blocks out God. And there are certain ways that the church has gotten to where, hey, we've got to start on this time and we've got to end on this time no matter what, so that everybody can be happy. Well, whatever happened to making it God happy? I'm just being serious. When are we going to ever have a church that makes God happy instead of us happy? Man. So, after, the Lord's kind of here. Anyway, I saw these folks with such glory. But man, before when I walked in, I thought, these are dry bones. I was the dry bone, though. And when I saw them through God's eyes, man, I couldn't wait to prophesy to them. And man, when I got up there after God had broken me, I loved those people. I can't even tell you, I can't even describe the love. I'm kind of like Moses or Paul. I can't describe what I saw. I could barely get things out of my mouth because I wanted to give them all of it. I wanted to give them everything God had for them. The words of love couldn't come out quick enough, because I love them so much. And man, I think that meeting went on till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And nobody was tired. Nobody wanted to leave. Why? Because God was pleased. We were pleasing God instead of man. And man, when you please God, that's when your man is pleased. That's the way you please yourself, is to please God. Don't ever forget that. You can't please yourself by giving yourself great things of what you want. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. Because want leads you into torment. But it's when we please God, that's when you're actually pleased. That's when you please yourself. So that's my story. Let's read the rest of this, and I'll try to finish this. But we we've got to finish the rest of these notes, you know, in the scripture. By the way, there was such major glory that all kinds of folks got healed, you know, in this service. People got delivered, and man, I didn't want to leave. I thought, man, I'd love to be the pastor of this church, you know. Of course, anybody else that would walk in, old Jake, when the Lord comes in, he raises up and starts looking. Look at him. So let's read the rest of this. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In other words, the driest people can hear the word of the Lord. Don't ever say they'll never hear it. That keeps the river from running through you. I'm sure the Lord, you know, took that temptation himself. I mean, he came to the Pharisees, his own people, and I'm sure his own flesh said, they're never going to hear this. And he had to overcome it. It says he overcame every temptation. And I'm sure he overcame that of his mind. They're never going to hear it. But he knows, Jesus knew, that the word of the Lord is so much more powerful than dry ears, than stubborn ears. They will have the opportunity to hear it. They will hear it. Now, that them accepting it is a different thing. But your ears will hear the word of the Lord. And some dry bones will get up and they will be transformed. It says, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So the driest people and the driest area that God puts you in, there is life there. It can live. It's just who's going to stay in that place until God says so. Who's going to stay in that place until God gives breath? How long do we have to, sometimes you go, how long, God, how long do I have to stay here? And you get miserable. Well, the reason you're miserable, the reason I say this, because I've been there, is because we're looking at it completely different than God. So he'll keep you there until you start breathing life into it. And then when there's life start to manifest, most of the time when you start manifesting life there, then he'll pull you out, just snatch you out. And then you think, oh my gosh, why couldn't I have stayed? Because you finally did your work of what he wanted to do. And that's what happens to Ezekiel here. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, I'm going to not only put breath in you, but I'm going to change your whole surroundings. I'm going to change who you are. I'm going to change your outward and your inward. So the breath and the life of God that we're depending on to change our situation is not coming from out there. It's going to come from inside of us. Think about that. It's not God moving on the outside of us. It's God moving from the inside of us and coming out. Most of us look for God to change our outward situation the way he wants to that way. God just change them. Okay, and then he'll want to. The only way he can change them is him using you to bring about change. And it's not by us trying to correct people and get on to them. It's about coming alongside and partnering with them and loving them where they are and giving them life. That's when the situation changes. You look at Daniel. I love Daniel. Daniel was put over all the sorcerers. Think about that. He came alongside and partnered with them, and he ended up gaining respect from all. And everyone knew that he was called of God, and you could lean on Daniel. Think about that. That's when hearts change. That's when the sorcerers changed. Because that Christian didn't come in and try to change them the way that we think that we should bring about change. He came alongside and loved them, respected them where they were, and worked with them. That caused their whole mind to change about God and change about Daniel, even change about Christianity. And that's the way we're going to do it. Of course, this religious world will not like it, just as they didn't like Jesus. But I'm telling you, the real religious world, I mean the true believing world, is the way of Jesus. That's the foundation of the way true Christians are going to walk. We're going to be like Ezekiel. We're going to be like Jesus. We're going to walk like him. And he's going to put us in places that are dry. He's about to take every one of us to the valley of dry bones, to the valley of death. But we're going to know he's with us. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. That's where we're going. And when we're more aware that he's with us than the valley, that's when the valley will start changing into a plain. He will change it, but he's not going to change it on his own. He's going to change it through us, as he did with his own son. He'll always use man to change the situations here on the earth and to change, transform people. So we will start there at the end of that verse next week, and we'll start going down the different thoughts. I hope this helped this morning. We love you guys. Man, this seems like it went very fast, doesn't it? And if you're in a dry place, I just pray for you right now that you will actually allow God to start speaking to you in a manner that you've never heard before. Be open to stay where you are. Be open to prophesy. Be open to edify where you are, because that's going to help you, and it will help your surrounding area, and it'll help the people that are around you. First, it will transform you. It'll transform your life. Then you will be happy, because God's flowing through you. You're not a consumer. You're a giver. You're not a pond. You're a river. All right, guys. Love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. And please tell people about these God stories. And maybe it can help transform them as well.
Oh, we got the...
Wait. She just woke up. She was sleeping late. We got Allie here. What do you think about it? You must have felt the Lord, right? Well, we love you guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And keep following the Lord. Keep following the Spirit. And pray for us if you can. We're in a major transition too. We've been waiting on our house to sell, and it's not selling. And I'm just praying about what to do, because I think the Lord's gotten us in a place to where we're going to have to die in a certain way, and the way things are supposed to be done. We always want it so easy. And I know that I'm speaking that myself. I want it so easy. I'm tired. I get tired. I say I'm tired of making it being hard. But it's really not hard once you die to his will. It really isn't. It's actually easy. What makes it hard is us wanting our will. All right? Remember that. Do his will. Listen to the Spirit, because the voice of God can speak to any man. If it can speak to dry bones, and the dry bones hear it, that means you can hear it, because you've got ears. All right. Love you guys, and grace to you. Listen to the voice of God and study your opinion. All right? See you next Tuesday.